John Hiron Hudson. I was very interested, Shane, in your almost ultimate last point of pay for performance. What alternatives do you think we have available instead of that, please?
Yep.
And look, we ought to open this one up for debate. So I don't know too many senior executives who predicate their actions on an outcome that says, if I do this, this will end up with this business result, which will end up with this pay outcome for me. I just don't know people that think that way. Most of them actually can't work out their equity plans, or you know how their hurdles or performance bonuses work. And there's something I think in there's some intrinsic motivation I think that keeps most people actually wanting to contribute and to be recognised in the workplace. So what would I do with it? Great challenge. So let me just put this out. When I came to ANZ, we spent a lot of time differentiating. We said, look, top 5%, next 15%, next 35%, next 35%, bottom 10%. Bottom 10%, you leave. But what I noticed was rather than the conversation being about who has really got the sort of significant potential in this top 20% to lead and to go far in this organisation, most of the argument was between the two 35% lots. How can I sort of prevent my person actually being forced down into this bottom 35%? And there were, you know, like most organisations, there were labels attached to it. 1, 2, 3+. Don't know how the 3+ ever got in there, but 3 and then 4. And if people came out of a rating or a ranking, which was a 3 or a 4, it was like a dagger to the heart. And we spent all the time talking about not making people a 3 or a 4, waste of time. Why aren't we talking about the top 20%? Why aren't we really having the conversation about the bottom 10? And everyone else, frankly, we should hold them harmless. Most of they're good people. We're a great organisation. We can attract good people, and yet somehow we were enabling to make half of them feel pretty crap. And we were doing this twice a year. It wasn't like it was once a year. So what would I do? That middle group, we actually call that middle group now, so language is important. We call that middle group now the valued 70. We cut out this sort of 35 and 35. We call it the valued 70. The top 20, we keep the top 20 and the bottom 10. What I do is the valued 70, literally, and this is people disagree with this probably, just pay them a fair market pay. Get their thinking off, how much am I going to earn? If I do this, can I outmaneuver my peers so I can get more of the bonus pool? Pay them a fair market pay. Get the thinking off really all the calculation, all the processes that go with sort of working out how much these people in the 70, valued 70 should get. Do differentiate for the top 20 because they're very marketable externally. They've probably got a different set of motivations as well. And set some very clear standards for the bottom 10. The most radical thought would pay no bonus to the middle 70, just pay them a lump of pay.
John Anderson from Energy Australia. An observation to start with, and I think a challenge in talent management. Your initial exercise, by implication, sort of says that most people perceive that the only way forward is up in an organisation. But then later on you talked about the criteria or some of the attributes you would like. You know, you talked about offshore, you talked about turnaround, start-up. These things often involve sideways movements or even a step back to take two forward. How do you go about encouraging these things when often that sideways movement is across tribal boundaries?
Oh, look, I wish I had the answer. because we struggle with that one as well. Part of it, though, I think, so we have some very deliberate policies around, again, holding people harmless in their development. So just some of the solutions that we've settled on there is taking people out of an investment banking environment And for those who are familiar with investment bankings, where sort of dollars actually are very important in people's minds, and giving them experience in other parts of the organisation, we've had to come up with arrangements that actually mean that they're kept whole. Now, people won't engage in that sort of development if they feel that they're being penalised by it. Getting some very positive role models is another way, and making sure that the messages are congruent so that the people that end up getting the opportunity, so now I'm going to go vertical, are the ones who are really getting experiences beyond just their own division. I mean, there's a couple of things there.
Well, perhaps while our audience is still thinking through, Shane, and keep you working for your lunch, basically. You talked about the manager's reputation, and certainly we've got lots of evidence that people do leave managers, but they also select managers, as you said. In the framework that you painted in terms of talent management, just if you could comment on two things. How do you create the consistency and reliability of those managerial behaviours, one? And two, are there consequences for the manager not behaving appropriately? How do you take action on that?
Yeah. Look, the consistency, it's critical, particularly, just picking up John's point, if you were looking to viral talent across the organisation. Breakout has been key in that for us. I mean, when you give people a 2 to 3 day experience which has a strong values component in it, it does enable you to have some common language, some shared frameworks, some shared ways of thinking about the hope for the organisation and the role of the individual in that. So we have some language, if I can sort of put it that way, that is shared across the organisation. So below the line is code for, that behaviour's not on. I mean, there's some language that comes with breakout, which has been very helpful for that level of consistency. In terms of behaviours, for anyone in this room, but I particularly probably HR people, and there's quite a few HR people here, I think we do have a role within organisations to ensure that, in one sense, there's a standards mirror that is reflected to the organisation in terms of how behaviours have to be within this organisation, and to the degree that there are consequences attached to that. I personally get involved in issues where behaviour has lapsed, and whether that's around bullying, whether that's around harassment, I mean, this is at the sort of extreme end of it, or whether it's around the sort of conversations that we were having on the floor about future potential, having conversations that go beyond just results and talk about how it is that people actually bring people with them, and to the degree that great results, but actually their engagement scores, there's something going on there, or there are messages about this person, then we won't put those people in those roles. Mm. And you've just got to do that.
A bit low for me. Fermin Diaz from Mercer Human Resource Consulting. Shane, you mentioned that customer satisfaction is a key variable in the strategy of the bank going forward. Could you expand a bit on the role that your function has on ensuring that those goals are met?
Sure. There's a couple of areas. One is just around our workforce planning. So most bank customers hate queues, and the banks did a great job through the 90s of it was essentially a sensory deprivation strategy, which said, well, first thing we're going to do is close branches. Then those branches that were open, we're not going to put many people in there, and then we're hopefully going to get everyone onto the internet or onto telephone banking. it's interesting, all the banks have come back to branch banking is at the core, certainly for retail banking, of our business. And so there is a key area in for my function in terms of our people planning. We just need to make sure that we've got the right number of people in the organisation to service customer demand. So in our business, there's a lot of focus around just our people planning element. There's also, within the people area, the focus around just how we go about building capability. So I'm talking there about customer service orientation, but I'm also talking about just product knowledge and capability as well. We put an enormous amount of focus around training, particularly in our branch network. And I couldn't have said this 5 years ago, but it is the case now. A couple of practical things there.
Hi, Shane. It's Catherine Curtis from Manpower. I'm actually interested to know a bit more detail around the particular assessments that you say you conduct or you leave for your councils to conduct and what they actually involve.
Okay. I'll start at the very top of the organisation, but this pattern is replicated at each of those council levels that I talked about. If I talk about the top 120, and this is a plug for Egon Zehnder, we've been in partnership with Egon Zehnder now for the last 5 years around our executive assessment. So for the top 130, each executive's assessed between 2 to 3 years, so most have actually just had their second assessment. And when we talk about an assessment, I talked about leadership competencies, so we've got a framework in the way in which we think about leadership. At the very top of the organisation, we have a couple of external people who interview the executive. Now, these are three-hour interviews, and they're competency-based. Their interview is around these leadership competencies, also our values. So, you know, all this comes out of that. What they then do is they reference check that person through the organisation. If they're new to the organisation, they'll go external, but they're referenced through the organisation. And I'm not talking about two or three references. It's unusual for someone to not have 8 or 9 references as part of that reference checking process. Individuals then get a report. It's got a predominantly a development focus, although I've got to say we've made moves, just to your point, Verena, we've made moves where really there's clearly not a good fit for the person in the role. But individuals get a report and a development plan is worked off that. And now we have that process replicated at each of those levels. We've trained our own people over the last 3 or 4 years to actually run the interviews, to do the referencing through the organisation. And I'm not talking about HR people again. These are all line people that are doing this at these various levels of the organisation. And then it enables them to come to the Talent Council and to have very real conversations about really people that are part of their deliberations.